Good morning. Good morning, early seekers. I am a little bit before 5:30, but I've been up a while. So I said, let me just go ahead and hop on, and I'm not going to be long today. But I want to just share some things with you. God, it took me to Holy Spirit took me to Genesis yesterday, and I thought that He was taking me there to give a little bit of a word this morning before we go into our Psalms. Because I don't do lives every day. I just do it when I feel like the Lord is leading me. Good morning, Sister Jean. You're up early. And so he took me to Genesis chapter 3, and I'm just going to read that before we start on our psalm. So Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, and it says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden.'" Good morning, Sister Carmela. Good morning, Kaylee. "Of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" So I'm like, "Lord, why are you taking me to Genesis?" But I was so I did a little bit. I was just thinking about it, praying about it, and so I started looking up some words. It was like serpent. It wasn't really a snake. He was cursed to be on his belly. But I was like, "What is it about this serpent?" So I looked it up. I looked up the word serpent in the Hebrew, and what that word. What that word is nakash, nakash. And what that means is to whisper a spell or to practice divination. So the serpent, he was actually a whisperer, a whisperer. And if you remember, the Lord gave me a word a while back about the plague, about how it's but a whisper, and how a whisper is something that the enemy does. It's like he gets together and he pronounces a doom and he sets traps for you. He's conniving. And so the serpent, God actually was revealing that he's a whisperer, right? So he whispered this deceit and this plan of divination, to pull Eve and Adam away from God, right? So I was like, okay. I was like, "Lord, that's good. That's good." Right? And so I was like, "Okay, I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about that." And then I went to bed last night. And I woke up around 1:30 and I tried to go back to sleep. And I believe I did. And I had a dream. And then I woke up again. So in this dream, okay, so let me explain. What I thought God was giving me for you, okay, which He is because He wants me to share this, but it was also a warning to me. He was also trying to show me something, trying to reveal something to me. So I had this dream, and I mean, the dream wasn't a good dream, okay? The dream wasn't a godly dream, right? It was a dream of me trying to do something or being involved in something that is wrong. That is sin. And so I woke up from the dream. And sometimes when you dream something, okay, I'm not going to say you guys, I'm not going to speak for you, but I'll speak for me. Sometimes in a dream, even though it's a dream that may be contrary to the word of God, or say if I'm married and I'm dreaming about another man, no one that I know, just in this dream. And so you wake up from the dream, but you kind of relive the dream, right? You're thinking about the dream. And so in the middle of that, the Lord brought Genesis 3 back to me. He brought what He had showed me, and And what I realized was that that dream that I was dreaming, what I thought was going on in my mind, that was actually the enemy had whispered to me. He had whispered something to me, right? And then I fell asleep and I started to dream that thing that he whispered to me. So what God was showing me was that the serpent, the enemy, Satan, had whispered something to me. I had took it in my subconscious and I was playing around with that thing, which I thought was a dream. It may have been a dream. I dreamed it after I fell back to sleep. But God showed me that he was a whisperer. This whisper, this serpent, that the enemy had done this. So in the middle of me thinking about this thing that I dreamed, I said, wait a minute. No, I bind this in the name of Jesus. I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I discard this thought that is in my head, this dream. I discard it. I bind it up and I cast it back to the pit of hell. And I was like, whoa, thank you, God. Thank you. So what he was showing me was that warfare, spiritual warfare is constant. We have to be vigilant. We have to be totally aware of everything, of all of even our dreams, of the things that we are thinking about, the battle of the mind. It all goes back to that. So even when you are falling asleep, the enemy will try and deposit thoughts into your mind, which then you dream or you think about, and we have to cast it down because he's a whisperer. That's what that name means. Serpent means whisper. It means divination. It means to practice divination, an omen, a whisper, a spell. So he kind of had me under a spell in my dream and I had to snap, but I said, no, in the name of Jesus, I bind you. But I really probably wouldn't have known to do that if he didn't take me to Genesis 3 yesterday in studying the word. So I'm just here to tell you guys, the word of God is power. We know this, it is power and it is life. And when he leads you to read something, or if he leads you just to spend some time in his presence because he wants to speak to you, it is to empower you. Something is coming and he just wants to empower you. Now, it may be something as small as that dream, as that experience I had, or it could be something where he is really warning you about danger. Don't go down that street, or don't take that trip, or this disease is but a whisper. So don't get in fear. Whatever it is, take the time to listen to to that voice inside of you, to the Holy Ghost when he's speaking to you, because he's trying to empower you. He's trying to get a word to you. Amen. And before I leave that, there was something else that he showed me. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, and I just want to go there really quick because, man, almost ran around the room when I got this. Verse 15, it said, okay, so we know God had told the woman, told Eve, because she went ahead and she listened. She fell under the spell of the serpent. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we will not fall under the spell of the serpent. I declare that I will not. I declare that those attached to this Bible study will not. We will not fall under the spell of the serpent. We hear your voice and we do your will in the name of Jesus. So we know that she fell under the spell of the serpent, and Adam, he ate with her. But listen to the curse that God put on the enemy, on Satan. He said, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. Amen. So we know he's talking about Jesus, and we are in Jesus. So he's talking about us too. He says, he shall bruise your head. Jesus is going to bruise his head. Okay, when you hit somebody in the head, when you wound their head, that's a fatal wound. That's a fatal wound. And we know that Jesus has destroy the enemy, that he has fatally struck the enemy, right? But it goes on to say, and you shall bruise his heel. All the enemy is going to do is bite at our feet. That's all, because remember, we're seated in Jesus, right? So all the enemy can do is bruise our heel, bite at our feet, right? There's no fatal, you don't die from getting bruised on your feet from the enemy just nipping at your feet. But listen to this revelation too. Why can he only bite our feet? Because he's under our feet, right? It says that the enemy shall bruise his heel. Jesus, we're in Jesus. He's talking about us. He can only nip at our feet because he's under our feet. That enemy is under our feet. Jesus, Yeshua, our Lord and our Savior, has put the enemy under our feet. That's all he can do. That dream where he was trying to whisper to me so that I would go to sleep and think all those crazy thoughts and then incorporate that into my life, into my spirit. When I got up this morning, that was just him biting at my feet. He was just biting at my feet. But Jesus gave me the victory already. God did that. He showed me before I went to sleep. He took me to Genesis 3 and he said, baby girl, I want you to understand what's going to be happening. I didn't in the moment I woke up, I was thinking about that thing, kind of almost getting lost in it. And then I remembered the word of God. I remember what he taught me just last night. And I said, thank you, Father. I see that. So I bound it up, I cast it down, and now I don't have to walk under that spell. Hallelujah. That's good news. That's good news, sisters and brothers. Come on. We've got the victory. Amen. I'm excited this morning. And I've been up since about 1:30. I think I went to sleep for another hour, got up at 3:30. So I should be tired. But the word of God is life. Amen. So hallelujah. I just wanted to share that with you guys. I thought it was only, you know, for me to share with you, but actually our daddy, Abba Father, was preparing me for something, just like he prepares you. If you listen, you got to have the ear to hear and you got to spend time with him and you got to be obedient when he tells you to open up that word and where to go. Just do it. And I know that you're that way. Amen. All right. Now on to our psalm for today. Our psalm for today is Psalm 37. My goodness, 37 days we've been doing this. Hallelujah. I'm going to read it from the CEV. And the title of the psalm is Trust the Lord. Don't be annoyed by anyone who does wrong. And don't envy them. They will soon disappear like grass without rain. So we don't have to envy those who are doing wrong and seems like they're getting ahead. It may seem like they have the world by the tail. You know, they're living large, as my mama used to say, right? But don't envy them, because they will soon disappear like grass without rain. How does grass without rain disappear? It gets dry, it gets dead, it's and then it's gone, you know? So it's ugly before it's gone, right? But it says it will disappear like grass without rain. Verse 3, trust the Lord and live right. The land will be yours and you will be safe. Trust the Lord. Trust God and live right. And what does he promise? The land will be ours. What land? The land of promise, the good land. And we will be safe. We're in Goshen. Come on now, we are in Goshen. Even in the midst of what is going on today, we are in the land of Goshen, that protected place. That's where we are. Oh, he just reminded me of something else. I got to tell you when I'm done. Verse 4, do what the Lord wants, and he will give you your heart's desire. What do you desire in your heart? What desire has he placed in your heart? What is it that you really want to do, want to have, want to be? Trust God. Do what he wants, and he will give you your heart's desire. This is his word. This is his promise. Verse 5, let the Lord lead you and trust him to help. I let him lead me last night when he told me to go to Genesis 3. And he helped me. I trusted him and he helped me. Let him lead you and trust him to help you. Then it will be as clear as the noonday sun that you were right. It's so clear to me today. Good morning. Good morning, Sister Natasha. It is so clear to me today that he was right, that I was right to follow him and to open up Genesis. I didn't feel like I needed to be in Genesis. I done read Genesis a million times. But it was something I didn't know, something I hadn't seen before. And again, that's why we have to remain teachable, guys. Don't ever think that you've read a verse too many times or you have gotten every bit of life, every bit of truth out of that. No, not until Jesus comes back, not until we are with him, will we absolutely have all revelation. He is revealing. So yeah, he made it as clear as the noonday sun to me this morning. Verse 7, it says, be patient and trust the Lord. Don't let it bother you when all goes well for those who do sinful things. You know, the race is not given to the swift, but to those who hold on, to those who are patient, to those who won't let go of the promise. This is what he's telling us. It may look like, it may look like it don't take all that. Okay, we see people that are blossoming. You know, it seems like they're doing good. You know, they're living in what looks like the promise. But don't take your eyes off Jesus. Don't try and take a shortcut. He says, don't let it bother you, and don't be jealous or envious. Don't start to second guess your God and what you're doing. He says, don't do that. He says, don't do that. Verse 8, don't be angry or furious. Why? Because anger can lead to sin. Anger can lead to sin. There's nothing else that needs to be said about that. God said it all. Anger can lead to sin. All sinners will disappear. But if you trust the Lord, the land will be yours. There he is again. That's right, Sister Jean. We got the victory. If we trust the Lord, the land will be ours. Hey, my brother Vince, how are you? If we trust God, the land will be ours. Verse 10, sinners will soon disappear, never to be found. But the poor will take the land and enjoy a big harvest. There's our promise. Harvest is coming. Harvest is coming. I'm telling you now, increase your capacity to receive. God told me that yesterday. Increase your capacity to receive. What does that mean? Enlarge your tents. Put your stakes out further. Guys, God is about to release a blessing. We are in between. I'm going to remind you again. We are in between the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost. That's coming. That's coming. We just had Passover. Now we're awaiting Pentecost. We are in between the feasts. Harvest is coming. Get ready. Verse 12, merciless people make plots against good people and snarl like animals. We know this. We know people are plotting against those of us who love God. We know this, but God knows it too. And what does he say? Verse 13, come on, somebody. He says, but the Lord laughs and knows their time is coming soon. We don't have to defend ourselves. We don't have to try and hide and be afraid. We don't have to be downcast because merciless people are plotting against us. Verse 13 says, the Lord laughs and he knows their time is coming soon. So we know that. So we don't have to defend ourselves. Just keep walking in what God has called you to walk in. Keep believing the promise. Keep standing on his word. Verse 14, it says, the wicked kill with swords and shoots arrows to murder the poor and the needy and all who do right. So we know that the wicked, they're shooting at you. They're shooting at us. Come on now. They have weapons. They do have weapons. Their mouths are weapons. They put their mouths on you. They set traps for you because the enemy, Satan, is influencing them. But what does God say? But they, will be killed by their own swords, and their arrows will be broken. The traps they lay for you, they're going to fall in it. The swords and the weapons that they have aimed at you, it's going to hurt them. It's going to ricochet back on them. And the Bible, God gives us plenty, plenty of examples of how he does this. So again, don't defend yourself. Don't be concerned about the enemies, about the naysayers, about those who don't believe in your vision, the dream that God has given you. Don't be concerned about that. God says that he is going to break their arrows. The weapons that they have forged for you, God is going to break them. God is going to break them. Hallelujah. Verse 16, it says, it is better to live right and be poor than to be sinful and rich. What is this saying? Come on. Because we know God came to give us life and life more abundantly. So he's not saying that we are to live a life of poverty. Poverty in finances, poverty in our health, poverty in our emotions. No, that's not what God is saying here. God is saying that we need to make a decision. Would we rather be poor? Would we rather be in lack in a season than to be sinful, than to try and gain riches or property or whatever it is by sinful means? You got to make a decision today. Lord, I'm going to wait on you. There were times when I didn't have lights in my house. There were times before I met my husband, before God gave me the wonderful man that I married to, my covering. But there were times when I didn't have any money. There were times, good morning, sister. Good morning, my sister Vine. There were times, and you are a witness to this, my sister. There were times where I had nothing. I had nothing but God, but his word. But his word. Now, I could have chose to do something simple. I could have chose to try and get what I needed by going contrary to his word. I could have tried to be rich by sin. But he says it is better to live right and be poor for a season, for a moment. Because when we trust him, when we wait on him, he's going to come through. His word says, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And I haven't either. I haven't either. My children didn't have to beg, and neither did I. All I had to do was wait on God, and he showed through. He came through. He showed himself strong for me, and he shows himself strong for you. Amen. 17, the wicked will lose all of their power, but the Lord gives strength to everyone who is good. And who is good? Who is the Lord giving strength to that is good? That's us. That's you. We're not good in our own right. We are good because of the righteousness of Jesus. We take his righteousness. So don't worry about, you know, don't allow the enemy to condemn you and to say, okay, well, you can't live this verse because look at what you did yesterday. Look at what you did last night. Look at what you did last week. That's what repentance is for. That's what the blood of Jesus is for. Amen. Whew, I got to hurry up. Verse 18, those who obey the Lord are daily in his care. Daily. When we obey him, we are daily in his care. He takes a position of protection and care for us when we obey him. And what he has given them will be theirs forever. The world can't take it away. The enemy can't take what God has given us, can't take our inheritance. It's ours forever. They won't be in trouble when times are bad. Come on. Overflow in the time of famine. And they will have plenty when food is scarce. Plenty. Overflow in the time of famine. Wicked people are enemies of the Lord and will vanish like smoke from a field on fire. My God. An evil person borrows and never pays back. A good person is generous and never stops giving. That's a word for us. Everyone the Lord blesses will receive the land. Everyone the Lord curses will be destroyed. We shall receive the land, that good land. If you do what the Lord wants, He will make certain each step you take is sure. The Lord will hold your hand, and if you stumble, you still won't fall. As long as I can remember, good people have never been left hopeless, and their children have never gone begging for food. Here's that verse I just said, but I learned it in the King James. I didn't even realize this was in Psalm 37. And it says, I've been young and I've been old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken and his seed begging bread. My God, that's in this chapter. Verse 25, my goodness, He wanted us to get that today. Verse 26, they gladly give and lend, and their children turn out good. We must gladly give, guys. We have to be generous. We have to be givers. And our children, they turn out good. Verse 27, if you stop sinning and start doing right, you will keep living and be secure. Just stop sinning, right? If there is a stronghold, you know, a besetting sin that you just have a problem with, you know, you try and stop. So just pray about it. Ask God to help you. This is what He's saying. Just stop sinning. Just stop sinning and start doing right. I'm saying that to myself. Stop sinning. You know, stop being short with people. Stop not having patience. You know, whatever it is, stop sinning and start doing right. You will keep living and be secure forever. Do we want to be secure? Do we want to not have to worry and be without fear? Stop sinning. Let God help you. And start doing right. Amen. The Lord loves justice, and He won't ever desert His faithful people. He will always protect them, but destroys the children of the wicked. God's people will own the land and live here forever. I'm going to say that again. Come on, some of y'all, entrepreneurs, you want to, you know, property owners, you want to get in real estate? Come on, this is God's word. We will own the land. And it's not just talking about the natural. It's talking about everywhere our feet shall go. Everything that the enemy has taken from us, everything, we will own that land. We will own our possession. What is our possession? What are our inheritance? It is peace. It is joy. It is forgiveness. It is goodness. It is prosperity. It is sozo. It is everything that God has, every promise we will own, and we will live there forever. Verse 30, words of wisdom come when good people speak for justice. They remember God's teaching, and they never take a wrong step. Now, what does this mean? Because we know that sometimes we take wrong steps, right? You know, sometimes we miss it. But God's promise to us is that we will remember His word that we've read. The Holy Spirit will bring it up to us. He will get us back on the right road. We will never continually walk in the wrong, on the wrong road. We will end up in our destination because God, His teaching, the Holy Spirit, His word is like a barrier. His word is a guardrail. It will get us to our next. Amen. Verse 32, the wicked try to trap and kill good people. We know this, but come on. Here's the promise. Verse 33, but the Lord is on their side and He will defend them. He's talking about us. The Lord is on our side and He will defend us. Good morning, Sister Victoria. When we are on trial, when are we on trial? When the enemy goes before God and says, this is what your daughter did. This is what your son did. But we know the word tells us that Jesus, that Yeshua, is standing right there interceding, always interceding on our behalf. This is what this is talking about. The Lord God defends us. when we're on trial, when the enemy goes before our daddy and says, you can't trust her. Look at what she did. Jesus said, no, she's covered by me. She's covered by the blood. She asks for forgiveness. She puts her trust in me. He is covered by the blood. She is covered by the blood. Hallelujah. Verse 34, trust the Lord and follow him. He will give you the land and you will see the wicked destroyed. I have seen brutal people abuse others and grow strong like trees in rich soil. Okay, so our brother King David, he's telling us, you know, when we pray, we can tell God, God, I've seen people prosper who don't follow you. I've seen it. There is a temptation sometimes because we don't always see the end of the thing, but we got to trust God. God is telling us here, don't follow that road. It's a slippery road. And what does he say? Verse 36, but suddenly they disappeared. I looked, but they were gone. They were no longer there. The wicked, those who were prospering by going against your word, God, shaming your daughters and your sons because they are trying to follow you, scorning them. But I look for those wicked people. I look for them on high, but they were gone. They disappeared. They were no longer there. Verse 37, think of the bright future waiting for all the families of honest, innocent, and peace-loving people. What is he saying? That's us, family, the family of God. Those of us who are covered by the blood of Jesus, who know that without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. We have a bright future waiting for us. Verse 38, but not a trace will be left of the wicked or of their families. We're almost done. Verse 39, the Lord protects his people and they can come to him in times of trouble. The Lord protects you. He protects me. He protects you. And you can come to him in times of trouble. The Lord helps his people and saves them from the wicked because they run to him. I started out by telling you how he took me to Genesis 3. And then I had that dream and how he was protecting me and showing me that when the enemy tries to plant thoughts and emotions in me that may try and take me down another road, that he has already protected me. He wanted me to share that with you along with the psalm today because he is already protecting you. He is your protection. Just trust him. Obey him. Don't worry about how it seems like the wicked are prospering. They are not prospering. Only God's people prosper. We know the true meaning of prosperity. It is in the natural as well as in the spiritual. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Whew. My goodness. I got to go. We've been on here a while this morning. But before I go, he reminded me of something. God bless you guys. I just love you. I pray for all of you before I even got on here today. As I do, as the Lord leads, I lift you up. Whatever he puts in my heart for you, I pray it over you. I declare it over you. I thank God for you. Okay, this is what else he wanted me to show you. In the garden, in Genesis chapter 3, when he talked about the garden, that garden is a place of defense. That garden is a protected place. And he just reminded me that we are in Goshen. We are in that place of defense, that protected place. But the enemy was even in there, right? He was whispering in that place. So even though we're protected, the enemy will still try and whisper to you, right? We just got to shut him down. Just shut him down. And then also the weapons of our warfare. And I didn't get a chance to look up the scripture, but we know it, right? The helmet of salvation. the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, shoes of peace, shield of faith to protect us from those fiery darts of the enemy, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That is our offensive weapon. When he woke me up and I felt that oppression of the enemy, when I remembered what God said to me, I started declaring his word. I took up my shield and I started declaring his word over me, over my family. And I bound that enemy. I took the whisper that he tried to give me, and I bound it up with the word of God. So that's what he wanted me to remind you of. I'll put the verse in the chapter for our weapons. I believe it's in Corinthians. I just can't think right now where it is. If you guys know it, please type it in the comments. But man, God is good. He's preparing us. He's preparing us. He wants us to be ready. Ready warriors for the battle. Because again, what he's been speaking to me for the past few days, victory, he's already given us the victory, but he's teaching our hands to war. Because he's given us the victory doesn't mean that we can just stay in the bed, that we can just stay asleep, that we don't have to meet the enemy on the battlefield. That's not what that means. Read your Bible. We have to meet the enemy. We have to face off. But we're taking back everything that he tried to steal from us. This is a take back season. This is your take back season. We're taking it all back. Hallelujah. God bless y'all. Have an awesome day. Daddy loves you. Our Abba Father, he loves us. Amen. God bless you. Mm-hmm.